The first time I entered a UU church, the minister preached on resurrection. It was Easter, and I don't even know how I wound up in that sanctuary. I was seeking, looking for something I couldn't quite name, but its absence made me feel a little bit antsy, a little bit restless nonetheless. Sort of like when you're on your way out the door and you have this nagging internal sensation that you forgot something, but you have no idea what it is. Maybe that's just me. Sometimes seeking can feel like this, a looking under the couch pillows and through the drawer of unopened mail, a looking for something we can't find and yet we need. Like more joy and connection, more meaning and purpose. So I entered the doors of that UU church as a seeker, and the service was on resurrection, which may have been obvious. As I mentioned, it was Easter. But raised Catholic and then part of an evangelical Christian church in high school, at that time in my life, when someone would use religious language, some part of me would immediately fold my arms, maybe with a little side lean, as if to say, I will fight and resist anything else you have to say. But then the minister started talking about memories and his grandmother and the profound experience of going through a box of her things in the attic years after she died. Each new photograph, letter, token, a trove of stories. Each memory outlining a part of her life. The memories somehow bringing her into the present moment in a way that felt like a resurrection, like life after death, a different kind of life or living, not the same as before death, a kind of living that comes only after something. Memories as resurrection? Not only did my arms slowly uncross pretty quickly into the sermon, I was digging into my bag for a pen to start taking some notes. Because the pairing of such real and somewhat ordinary parts of life, memory, remembering, with religious language, resurrection, left me disoriented, almost dizzy, yet really wanting more. The pairing of two things my brain had been taught were separate. God, worship, prayer, theology belong over here. Life experience, the struggle to find my keys in the morning, decisions about relationships, how to explain to children in my life why we are separating families at the border over here, separate. In the days following that service, I scoured the internet trying to find the Unitarian Universalist Credo Statement, the sacred text, the list of yeses and nos. I was ultimately wondering, okay, who's in charge? And what I wasn't prepared for was the answer. You are. I am. We are. You see, one distinct thing about Unitarian Universalism is where we locate religious authority, which is within one's self, which is co-created in community, what is lived experience. There are lots of Unitarian Universalists who do not believe in God, and there are lots who do, and plenty who have believed different things at different times. As a non-creedal faith, there is not something you must believe in order to be a part of this religious tradition. But I wonder if there is a more interesting question than do you use believe in God? A more relevant question, which is, what do we mean by God? What do you mean by God? For many of us, religious language has been hijacked by traditions of our past that were not affirming or relevant to our lives, maybe even harmful. As a result, when any religious language is used, there's that folding of the arms and sort of preemptive rebuttal. Does that resonate with anyone? Yeah? But what if there is a third way? Rebecca Parker, former president of the UU Seminary Stark King School for the Ministry, says that we have three choices when the realities of our lives refute or confront religious beliefs we've been taught. One, we can hold to our religious beliefs and deny our experience. Or we can hold to our experience and leave our religious tradition. Or we can become theologians. And one of the invitations of Unitarian Universalism is to become a theologian. To explore, to poke, turn over, examine what you believe, informed by the context of your life, within the fabric of community, covenantal community in particular. Currently, this is my favorite piece of theology. The artist Harmonio Rosales posted this on Instagram, titling the piece, "The Creation of God," sharing, quote, "We are all made in God's image." Some of the stories and images she received of what God is refuting her lived experience, and so she brought her brush to canvas, creating new understandings of these ancient questions informed by her real experiences of life. What if this was the concept of God that you were raised with? Or what about this one? For some, God can be felt in the golden spiral, the presence of the Fibonacci sequence present across nature. What if this were the image of God that you were raised with? Some of you might use the word God or goddess to name the unnameable, to name what moves between us, the mysterious force of love, the ancient wisdom of the earth, the motion of change, and also what is changed. And for others, the word is an artifact, unrelated and unhelpful in the ways you make beautiful meaning in your life. It took me halfway through seminary to realize that God didn't look like my grandfather, an image that has more to do with those who hold power and authority in a culture, right, than a transcending truth. It took me halfway through seminary to realize that who or what God is or isn't continues to be an open question. And our tradition invites us all to participate in answering the question or asking more questions. We are all invited to participate with intention and vigor through relationship with our own lives and with each other. So the answer, do you use believe in God, is no and yes, and sometimes something in between and often all within one life. But maybe the more interesting question is, what do you mean by God?
Last week, I had the privilege of being the theme speaker at the Western UU Life Festival, an annual gathering of Unitarian Universalists in northern New Mexico. As the theme speaker, I was granted 7.5 hours of instructional time over 3 days and 40 unsuspecting subjects. One of the exercises I inflicted upon the group was to have them partner up and have to answer the same question over and over and over again. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? The one rule of the exercise was they couldn't say the same answer twice. So it was just, who are you? Pause for an answer. Who are you? Pause for a different answer. Who are you? Pause for another. Think about it. How would you answer each round of that question? Because it's not a question that we get asked all the time, at least not in those words. Who are you? Actually, every day we get asked that question of who we are in a multitude of ways. And so what would your answers be on that first round? Who are you? Or that second, who are you? Or that third, who are you? Each repetition of the question is not a demand, but an invitation to step in deeper, closer, or more fully into truth. Who are you? Who am I? Well, I'm the fight that I had with my mother in high school when I didn't come home in time or tell her where I was. I'm the product of a racist society that conditions me to expect this to be the norm. Who am I? I'm the queerness that could never be suppressed from leaking out. I'm the water from the Rocky Mountains that quenched my thirst growing up. I'm the smell of chlorine that never quite got washed out after swim practice. Who am I? I'm this motley collection of cells, this being of bone and brain, life, pain, and exploration. I'm this heart that seems to keep on beating, this soul that keeps seeking. I'm this creature that doesn't always know, but seldom doesn't recognize myself. Who am I? I'm a hiker, a dog lover, and terrible at arts and crafts. I'm every moment I've lived through, remembered or not, the screw-ups, the missteps, the words I would take back if only I could. Who am I? I'm the imprint of each relationship, each wound and loving caress whose very nature altered the course of my life. Who am I? Every question circles round the deeper truths of who I am and who you are. Each question circles round the deepest truths of who I am, who you are, who we all are. Dependent, connected, the I and the we, one. As the poet Rilke wrote, how can I keep my soul in me so that it doesn't touch your soul? How can I raise it high enough past you to other things? I would like to shelter it amongst remote lost objects in some dark and silent place that doesn't resonate when your depths resound, yet everything that touches us, me and you, takes us together like a violin's bow, which draws one voice out of two separate strings. Upon what instrument are we to stand, and what musician holds us in her hand? Who am I? Is only the product of a greater we that lived and loved first. Who I am is only the product of a greater we that lived and loved first. The question before us this morning is a good and albeit wrong question, as Kristen pointed out. Do you use believe in God? For the quick answer is, of course, some do and some don't. But I think, as Kristen did as well, there might be another important question for us to explore. And stay with me now, because it's a little bit more risque than Kristen's question, which is, does Unitarian Universalism as a faith necessitate God? Does Unitarian Universalism as a faith necessitate God? Now, I'll put my cards on the table quickly to flag any bias so you can easily discount it if you want to, all right? I don't believe in God, but I experience God. This is the truth, as best I can articulate it, of my theism, even if I tend to shrug off that word. For me, words like God, belief, theist feel too static, constrained by false idols of old men in the sky. To say that I believe in God seems to imply that I have a neat and tidy definition of God that I think logically exists. Beliefs must be understood and articulated, which is why I don't believe in God. Because I do not understand God, what God is or what God isn't. God is a mystery, irreducible, beyond encapsulation or complete comprehension, but it would be a lie to say that I don't experience God in my life. In the moments where my breath catches up to the rhythms of the universe, when my words fail me but presence saves me, when grace bubbles up between us, unlocking a movement of love and creation invisible before, it would be a lie to say I don't seek God's presence every day in prayer, in nature, with all of you. In moments of tension and stress, when I don't know what to do, when I feel lost and can't remember what's important, when I can't answer that question, who am I? Does our Unitarian Universalist faith necessitate God? If God means a belief in the supernatural, no. If God means a personal relationship with the divine, no. If God means allegiance to all that you think is woo-woo, no. But if by God we mean some source of authority and accountability that is greater than simply and solely you, or your narrowly defined circle of people to include or exclude, if by God we mean something greater, something beyond, something that we cannot be found in convenient idols or trotted out to give simple answers to complex questions, if by God we mean that everywhere we look, we touch an elemental mystery that is revealed in our encounter with it, a mystery that we cannot grasp but only touch, if by God we mean a force that demands, invites, compels, and merits a humble allegiance to direct our life's work at the intersection of our joy and the world's need, if by God we mean that, then yes, our Unitarian Universalist faith necessitates and depends upon it, even for the atheist and the theist. No matter if you use that word or don't, no matter what you call it, we should, all of us, have some source beyond us that calls us to something greater, something beyond simply ourselves, for I am dependent on the universe and so are you, and that means something. I once met a woman in a hospital bed who called this force Sam. But it was there. To pray, you open your whole self, Joy Harjo writes. In prayer, you open your whole self to sky, to earth, to moon, to sun, to the one who whole voice that is you, and know there is more that you cannot see, cannot hear, can't know except in moments, steadily growing and in languages that aren't always sound, but other circles of motion like eagle that Sunday morning over Salt River. Circled in blue sky, in wind, swept our hearts clean with sacred winds, we see you, see ourselves, and know that we must take utmost care and kindness in all things. Breathe in, knowing that we are made of all of this, and breathe, knowing we are truly blessed because we are born and die soon within a true circle of motion like eagle rounding out the morning inside us. We pray that it will be done in beauty. In beauty. Amen.